Chapter 10. "Are you sure you want to do this?" Hakeem asked. They huddled together at Darcy's locker at the end of the day. His eyes were urgent and sincere. "You know what happened the last time you saw Tara. What makes you think it's going to be any different now?" "I have to see her," Darcy insisted. She had made her choice in the cafeteria and thought about it all afternoon. "If she's going to cut me off, what do I have to lose? And if something's really wrong with her, maybe I can help. Either way, we need to settle this." The crash and boom of slamming lockers thundered like war drums in the hallway. "Maybe it's better if you give her space. Leave her alone until she calms down. I don't want a repeat of Saturday night."
"Neither do I," Darcy admitted, leaning her head into Hakeem's chest. "I don't want to fight Tara, but I don't want to lose her either. What if something's really wrong?"
"Wrong? Like what?"
Darcy pulled away and grabbed her book bag. "I don't know. She hasn't been acting herself. You've seen it too. I know you have."
Darcy shut her locker and joined the crowd heading toward the exit.
"Yeah, but that's just how Tara is sometimes. I asked Coop, but he told me it was nothing."
Just then, Hakeem's phone chimed.
"Speaking of Coop, he's finally replying. It's about time."
Hakeem stared at his phone for an instant and stopped in the middle of the hallway.
"Uh-oh. This isn't good."
"What?"
"Coop's home now. He says he and Tara broke up today."
"Broke up." The words shook Darcy like a small earthquake. She leaned in and stared at Hakeem's phone, rereading Cooper's message several times to make sure it was real. Another arrived as she watched.
"I'm not good, bro," it read. "Not good at all."
The hallway seemed to sag beneath Darcy's feet. Voices of nearby students faded, and time seemed to pause as Darcy digested the somber news. No couple seemed more perfect or more meant for each other. Tara and Cooper had been together so long, Darcy couldn't imagine them any other way. They were supposed to be forever. How could this happen? Darcy shoved aside the anger and resentment that had gathered since Saturday. She knew where she had to be.
"That's it," Darcy barked. "I'm going to Tara's house right now. And you go talk to Coop. He needs you."
Darcy bolted from Bluford High School, not looking back. Tara lived a short bus ride from school in a mint green ranch house she shared with her mother and at times her cousin and niece. From the bus, Darcy noticed Tara's house stood out on the street. A black metal fence surrounded the tiny front yard, separating the property from the sidewalk. The windows and doors were also clad in black metal bars, making the house look protected, but also caged. Though it was only 3:15 p.m., when Darcy stepped off the bus, the dreary sky made it feel much later. The drizzle from earlier had ended, but clouds had lowered and thickened into a heavy overcast that blanketed the sky. Darcy was surprised to see Tara's mother's car parked in the small driveway. Darcy knew she worked full-time as a prison guard, a job that kept her out of the house most days until well past 5 o'clock.
"Why is she home now?" Darcy wondered.
Taking a deep breath, Darcy opened the gate, stepped nervously to the front door, and pressed the doorbell. She heard the electronic chimes echo through the house, followed seconds later by the stomp of approaching steps. The front door creaked open to a solid, barrel-shaped woman, nearly as tall as Darcy's father. Her eyes, wary and bothered at first, softened as soon as they spotted Darcy.
"Hi, Miss Carson," Darcy said, trying to hide her concern. "I was wondering if I could see Tara. Is she home?"
Tara's mother eyed her intently. Darcy felt as if Miss Carson was studying her face, searching for clues about her intentions.
"You know, she wasn't feeling well earlier today, Darcy," she said finally. "But I think it would do her some good to see you. Come on in. She's in her room."
"Tara," she called out, "you have a visitor."
"I told you I don't want to see nobody," Tara yelled in the distance.
"Go on back," Miss Carson urged. "It's okay. You'll be good for her."
"Tara,"
Darcy called, knocking gently on the half-closed bedroom door before walking in. She found Tara hunched on her bed. An old maroon photo book sat closed at the foot of her mattress. Tara held a tissue box on her lap and her phone at her side.
Her eyes widened when they met Darcy's. "Oh, no. Tell me you didn't just walk up in here," Tara sniffled. She shook her head almost in disbelief, but Darcy noticed something else there, too. Gratitude and a weak smile. "I didn't walk. I took the bus," Darcy tried to joke. "Girl, you are crazy. Answer my text next time and I won't have to barge in on you." Darcy sat down on the edge of the bed. She noticed Tara's eyes were puffy and bloodshot. Even now, tears were welled in them. Darcy ached seeing her so sad, but she didn't know why. Not exactly. "Are you okay?" Tara shrugged and took a deep breath. Darcy had never seen her look so vulnerable, so fragile. "I've had better days. Mom and I just got home from a meeting. Used to go with Coop, but I guess I won't be doing that no more." "A meeting?" Darcy ignored the mention of Cooper for a second, letting Tara choose what she wanted to say, listening to her. Tara stared at Darcy for a long time, as if she were searching for an answer to some impossible question, an escape she could not find. Then she turned away. "I'm kind of surprised you're even here," Tara said finally, changing the subject. "After all the stuff I said Saturday night." "Tara, we don't need to go into that now," Darcy began, but Tara held up her hand. "No, we do," she interrupted. "Before you say anything, Darcy, I gotta say I'm sorry. I should have known you had good reason for being a no-show. I felt so bad when I heard about your baby brother. I'm sorry for coming down on you the way I did. And I'm sorry some trifling fool put us on YouTube." "I'm sorry too, Tara." "You don't got nothing to be sorry for. It wasn't your fault. If my mom was in that situation..." She sighed heavily, wagging her head from side to side. "What I did ain't right. But I've been wrong too. I didn't want to admit it, but inside I knew it. I am so sorry, Tara," Darcy insisted. Tara looked up at her, confusion pushing aside the sadness for a second. "What do you mean, Darcy?" "What you said before about me being selfish. I said a bunch of mean things I shouldn't have said. But I knew there was something wrong, Tara," Darcy confessed. "You've been acting so different. Angry one minute, distracted the next. You'd say odd things sometimes, but then we'd never talk about it, you know?" Tara nodded and wiped her eyes. "I kept telling myself if it was a really big deal, you'd talk to me. But I should have asked more. I should have acted like it mattered because it does," Darcy insisted. "And then when things got crazy at home and with Hakeem in school, I let it go. That's no excuse, and for that, I'm sorry, Tara. I know sometimes it doesn't seem like it, but I care about you so much, girl, and I'm here for you. I might not be as good at giving advice as you are, but I can listen." Tara covered her face with her hands. Quiet sobs shook her body. Darcy moved close and embraced her. "What is it, Tara?" Darcy asked urgently. "What's wrong?" Tara hunched in her bed, her arms around her knees, her head bowed as if she were under the weight of some immense unspoken pain. Unsure how to comfort her, Darcy sat close, gently rubbing her back until gradually the hurt seemed to ease, the sobs calmed. Finally, Tara lifted her head, her eyes tired and bloodshot. "My meeting today," Tara said at last, "was with a counselor. She's been helping me for a few months now. Coop's been taking me." "A counselor?" "I needed help. The panic attacks and lost sleep were killing me. It might not seem like it, but I'm better than I was. I'm getting through it. One day when I'm ready, maybe I'll tell you about it. For now, all I'm gonna say is remember what almost happened to you with Brian Mason? Remember what he almost did to you?" Tara's eyes glimmered with black fire. Darcy nodded, recalling the afternoon he groped and assaulted her last year. "It's like that. But worse, Darcy," Tara said, shivering slightly at the memory. Darcy instantly understood the secret Tara was hiding. She had been raped. She was a survivor. "Tara, I am sorry." "Don't," Tara said, holding her hand out as if to say stop. "Like I said, I am getting through it, and I'm learning a lot about myself and my relationships. I'm messed up, Darcy.
I've been hiding the truth for so long, been so busy pretending to be happy, that I never even got to know myself. To fix it, I need to do some work on my own. I need to step back from, well, just about everything. And everyone.
Everyone? Darcy repeated.
Tara nodded slowly. I can't have a serious boyfriend right now, even one as good as Coop. My counselor agrees. That's why I broke up with him last night. Been working up to it for a while, actually, she added quietly. It was the hardest thing I ever done. He's been so good to me, Darcy, too good. He deserves better, and I can't give it to him right now.
Is that why the party had to be so perfect? Because you knew you were breaking up? Darcy asked.
Tara's actions over the past months began to make sense. Darcy felt a sting of guilt for not knowing her friend's agony, for missing the signs for so long.
Tara nodded slowly. I hope one day we can get back together, but for now, she said, fixing her sad eyes on Darcy, I need to step back from him and just about everyone.
Darcy stared back at her friend, letting her words sink in. The truth of what Tara was suggesting began to take form and make sense. Tara was breaking up with Cooper, but also everyone else, including her.
Are you sure, Tara? I mean, we're your friends. Why would you cut yourself off from the people who love you?
Tara stared straight ahead, not looking at Darcy.
I need time and space, Darcy, to figure things out. Concentrate on getting myself straight and healthy. And it's hard to do that when your best friend has so much going on. I'm not mad at you, but you're going places, Darcy. You're going to go off and be a doctor or something. But me, I'm just here. I don't know what I want to be or how to get there. Pretty soon you're going to move on and I'm going to just be here. Stuck.
We'll get you unstuck then, Tara. That's what friends are for. To help each other. Support each other. If it's school stuff, I can help. And if it's something else, you sound like Coop. And I love you for it. But this is something I gotta do. I need to deal with myself for a while.
Tara grabbed another tissue and wiped her eyes with it.
You're my friend, Darcy. I know you are, Tara whispered. But can you be my friend enough to leave me alone for a while?
Darcy's eyes burned. She felt as if her insides were being pulled apart.
Tara was asking the impossible. How could she reject what her best friend was asking? And yet, how could she let her walk out of her life? It was as if a death were occurring, a death of their friendship, their bond, their sisterhood.
Are you sure this is what you want? Darcy asked.
After failing her for months, Darcy felt she had no choice but to honor Tara's request, though every cell in Darcy's body said not to.
Tears slid down Tara's face as she nodded.
Yeah, I think it's for the best.
Tara pushed the tissue box aside, stood up, and headed toward the hallway.
I'm glad you came over. I really am, but I think you better go. Ain't no point in dragging this out. It's hard enough as it is.
Darcy wanted to protest, but Tara walked out. Darcy's legs nearly buckled as she followed her to the front door, where Tara finally turned to face her. They stood for a second under the small awning in silence. After so much time and so much history, Darcy never imagined their friendship ending like this. It felt wrong, a violation of something sacred and true. But Tara had made her decision, and now Darcy knew it was time for her to make hers. She wrapped her arms around her friend and squeezed her tight.
You're right. Changes are coming, and we've all got our choices to make, Darcy said. But I'm making one right now. I'm not giving up on this friendship. I'm going to keep checking on you, and I'm going to be here when you're ready to talk and when you get yourself unstuck. You're not getting rid of me that easy, Tara. You hear me?
Tara nodded, returning the hug. Darcy could feel the emotion in her embrace, but also her strength, too.
Thanks, girl, Tara whispered before gently pulling away.
It was drizzling again when Darcy boarded the bus home. As the streets passed, slick and gloomy in the gentle rain, Darcy's mind churned with what life had hurled at her. Her closest friend had shut the door on their relationship. Her parents were having a baby that would change their household forever. Her relationship with Hakeem was finally blossoming, and Trinity College loomed with a world of new challenges. Darcy couldn't see the future, couldn't tell what would happen with any of it. All she could control was the choices she made, and as she got off the bus in the slate gray night, she knew what she had chosen, what she would always choose. No matter what her aunt said, she couldn't leave her family or her friends. They were her past and future, and she would fight for them no matter what. But how? Darcy glimpsed an answer. It had been planted many years ago, fueled by what she had learned from Mom about working hard and helping people. It had been nurtured when she cared for Grandma after her stroke. It had been fed by success at school and her college visit. Ms. Allen's suggestion and Tara's words earlier kindled it too. "I know good doctors," Mom had remarked. "Consider a career in medicine," Ms. Allen had suggested. "You're going to go off and be a doctor," Tara had predicted. Their voices called to Darcy and stirred something deep in her. There was so much pain in the world, everywhere. So many wounds. Tara had just showed her that again, igniting a spark that burned the entire bus ride and chased away the evening gloom as she walked home. One day, Darcy would tell Tara of this night, of the moment on the street when she first saw the path that wedded her school success with a passion to ease the pain in the world. A way to help her baby brother and her family, and honor them too. An answer to the uncertainty of the future that felt right and true and good. "Infinite possibilities await," the brochure had said. Darcy had chosen one of them. "Dr. Wills," she thought, opening the door to her awaiting family. "I could get used to that."
This has been a Townsend Press production from the Bluford series of books, The Chosen, written by Karen Langhorne Fallon and Paul Langan, read by Shay Walker. This book was produced and directed by Dave Books and features the music of Kenyon Whittington. For more information, visit our website at townsendpress.com.